Welcome to the Betsy and Thomas Show. Now, normally Betsy introduces us, but I wanted to introduce it this time because we're going to be answering questions, and nothing gets me more excited than a good question. So what I really like to do sometimes is just say, okay, Betsy, just turn on that tape recorder and ask whatever questions you want, because I love it when someone comes up with a good question, because it usually makes me realize things I never thought of before.
Okay. So first segment, I'm going to, people want to know about why Trump said what he did at Whirlpool, about how we might not be seeing him for a while and what that means. And we also want to talk about the bombing over in Beirut real fast. Okay. And then we're going to wrap it up. And then Jez, thanks Jez for sending all these great questions in, has some questions, but they're more on the spiritual side of the bridge. So if you geopolitical folks can't go over that bridge with us, then that's when you want to stop the audio.
Yes, because it was a very enigmatic statement stuck in right after he made reference to the fact that he is fighting tooth and fang against the pharmaceutical companies, that they're big, bad, horrible. It was almost like what JFK said about the CIA before the CIA came and got him. So it was that kind of statement. What he's basically saying is a multitude of things. First off, he's going away from Ohio, and he might not in person come back for any rallies. So these press conferences that he's having are really, in a way, his rallies. Secondly, it's very possible that if there is more of this fake numbers with the coronavirus, that people will be locked down even more. I'm sure that, you know, Joe Biden wants to stay in his basement, because when you have dementia, you like to really limit the space that you go, you know, that you're allowed to go in, because you can't remember where you're going, which is exactly what we're seeing with Joe Biden. So Trump could have been referring to that. He could have been referring to the fact that pharmaceutical industrial espionage is the worst thing on the face of the earth. And right now, pharmaceutical companies are waging vaccine and drug wars on human beings all over the globe. And Trump is busting them. And that's the reason he's brought the prices of things down. That's the reason he basically steered us away from an insulin crisis, which Betsy likes to point out. And I think that that was very true. That was probably a good save. He's steering us away from the vaccine wars and talking about treatments with hydroxychloroquine and using zinc and Z-Pak as a little basically delivery system to help you fight off any influenza, any coronavirus, any. If you look at what quinine can do, and that's what the active substance is, it is the treatment that we should have all been using all along. So really, any deaths that have been happening because of influenza shots, which when you get an influenza shot, you get influenza, you get the flu. That's all CDC and NIH, and particularly Mr. Fauci. So when it comes down to it, Fauci has been murdering people for, 28, 30 years, knowingly, and keeping the treatments away from them. So that's my answer to that.
Anything to make of the bombings in Beirut other than what we're seeing on the mainstream media?
Well, yes. We had said this, the conclave has been waiting for this to happen, but we expected it to happen in a different way. But always, Israel has the best, most effective intelligence service, as well as their what we'd call special forces. When they go in, they don't leave a trace. So here's what I saw, and I've been seeing now for some time, and predicted that we will have a massive problem in Lebanon, that Lebanon will attempt to attack Israel, and that Israel will attack back with the same force that they always do. Not an eye for an eye, but two eyes for an eye. That's the Israeli war cry. So here's what happened. Are we expected to believe that a Russian businessman bought a bunch of ammonia nitrate, which is one of the best things for making explosives in the whole world, packed a boat with it, never got the clearances, and from Iran, by the way. A Russian got this stuff from Iran, brought it to Lebanon. Who is the number one supporter of terrorism in the whole world? That would be Iran. And they brought what? A boat full of bomb-making material. And then it was the Lebanese authorities said, oh, no, you don't have the papers. So they tied it up there and made him go bankrupt. what did they do? They basically, that was a delivery. So instead of saying, oh, we literally bought the materials for making bombs, we're going to say that, oh, no, this can be used as a fertilizer, and it was all completely innocent. Absolute nonsense. If you believe that story, I have some good swampland down in Florida I'd like to sell you. So they bring the ship in, and it's held there for years. And during those years, what, six times, they said, this is insane. Get it out of here. And, oh, but they unloaded it. They unloaded the boat. This is what's beautiful. They unloaded it into a warehouse where they say, okay, they unloaded the most explosive substance on the face of the earth into a warehouse where they say they make fireworks. Now, anytime they say fireworks, read munitions. Okay, when you see the smokestacks that were coming out of that supposed warehouse where they were making, you know, just a few firecrackers, complete nonsense. That was a massive munitions plant creating what seems to have been a 3 megaton explosion bomb that went off at the wrong place. It wasn't supposed to go off there, obviously. It was going to be loaded back onto that boat. It was going to be taken into Tel Aviv or wherever they could deliver it inside of Israel and blow it up. Now, when you look at the pictures, you're going to see a lot of strange things. And this is always just creates the mystifying inability to get the answer. But look at the pictures. There were, I counted at least, what, 8 separate explosions in different parts of the warehouse that was also a fireworks manufacturing facility. So you see it all over the building, boom, 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 really quickly, right? Those are explosions. That's not an accident. No, those were separate explosions. But what were they for? They were to start a fire so that there would be smoke. And so they were set up by, obviously, we know, it would be silly to imagine it was anyone besides the Israelis who did this. And part of the building, what, 8 or 10 parts of the building go off almost simultaneously within, say, 2 seconds. It's kind of like bringing a building down, you know. But anyway, that started a huge explosion that sent up a cloud of smoke. So they put the explosives on the thing that would create the biggest, what, smoke screen. And then we have from, what, 5 different angles that I've seen already, either a missile or a drone coming in and striking the already burning explosion, and then we get a 3 megaton explosion. If anyone thinks that's anything besides the Israelis defending themselves, then they're just silly, because we just had back and forth between their war ministers threats of exactly what has just happened. They kept saying they're going to create an ammonia nitrate nuclear explosion in Israel. They threatened them with it, and they threatened them with that very load of explosives. And this happened back and forth. We've been talking about this. We mentioned it some weeks ago, if not a month ago. Oh, no, here's, you know, Lebanon will go off before Taiwan does. I think I was referring to Taiwan and the Chinese, because someone had asked, is there going to be a war between China and Taiwan? There already is a war, folks. But anyway, Lebanon is explosive. So Hezbollah was bombed, excuse me, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard that penetrated all the way through Iraq, went into Syria, set up missile embankments. 30 of those that I have kept track of, have been in the news, were bombed, exploded, and completely annihilated effectively by Israeli forces. Okay? IDF. So why are we surprised? And most of the time, they don't even notice that the plane came in, because they drop from high altitudes and they're laser-guided missiles, of course. So they can't miss their mark, and they don't see the plane. They never even know that it's an attack. Well, hello, where has this been happening? Oh, this just happened in Iran, blowing up what we kept telling you. Oh, don't worry, we aren't worried about Iran getting nuclear bomb, because Israel will blow it up anytime they get close to it. So Israel blew up Iran. What, 3 or 4 that we know of that have been admitted by the Iranians? Then we know that they blew up 30 missile embankments in Syria that some of them had been launched against Israel. And then we know that they got out of Syria and they moved into Lebanon. And Hezbollah has been given all this money by many different sources. I'm not going to go into that, but they and Hamas basically are working hand in glove, and Hezbollah was getting out of control in Lebanon, and the Israelis told them, back off, back off, back off, back off. They wouldn't, so they made it look beautiful. And what did the Israelis do? They said, hey, don't worry. We're going to send you humanitarian aid. We're so sorry that that blew up. Oh, by the way, we'll rebuild your port for you. And then China came in and said, no, we'll rebuild it for nothing, on nothing but credit. Don't you worry, Lebanon. We'll take care of you. So that's what's going on in Lebanon.
Okay, folks that want to jump off, because we're going to now move into some of the spiritual questions that Jez has. One of them is not so spiritual, and that's about the Trump effect. He asked, or she, I'm not sure of the gender inside the internet, awful and funny things seem to happen to Trump's enemies. Eyebrows fall off and all manner of silly things happen to those who oppose him. How can I get the Trump effect in my life? That's a great question. Now, we wrote about the Trump effect, and underneath this video, if you're on the Cat Report, I'll have a little link to that.
Even the Queen of England snubbed Trump, and then in the end had to do what? Treat him like he was a king the second time around. So the Trump effect, what happens there? When you're an honest person, you become a mirror. Now, being a mirror is a horrible thing if somebody's ugly. If you want to be a mirror and somebody's ugly, it's just a horrible thing. They come up to you and all they see is they think you're ugly because they're looking in a mirror seeing their ugly self. And that's the Trump effect. It's I'm rubber, you're glue. What you call me bounces off me, sticks to you. It's preschool politics here. You can't attack an innocent man. There's nothing there to attack. So if you're going to attack him, what do you usually attack him with? Your own projections, your own foibles, your own inadequacies. This is called, it's called the Trump effect politically, but we've been talking about this now and giving out audios and talks on this. It's called the threshold effect. Trump is the dweller in the threshold. He's the three-headed dog of hell. You got to get by him if you want to get to the River Styx and cross over. So there's a story of Psyche, the first real Hercules, who went to the underworld to get the beauty of Persephone and bring it back to Venus. Well, it's the deathly beauty that we're talking about here. So when they look at Trump, they see the death of globalism and they freak out, and the Trump effect, they then project their evil, and all they're talking about is themselves.
Well, I'm going to add that I believe it's a little bit more than that, because I believe it also has to do with karma. You know, for the longest time, the churches have not wanted to talk about karma because, of course, the evil people in the world don't want you to know that all that you sow, you reap. And if not in this lifetime, and in another one. And I believe that when we look at Donald Trump, we are looking at a man who has done a good job in his karma. And so now he comes into a lifetime where there's no one that he needs to have this kind of karmic payback. There's no karmic gravity, because, you know, something has to happen to pull two people together to resettle, reshape whatever their karmic path is. And so these people can't take Trump down. If you notice that he won't call them out first, so he's not going to make the first attack, because if he did, that would create some kind of karmic energy. So he's not going to do that. But when they attack him, then he knows that they can't penetrate this karmic armor, so they just then see their own reflection.
And that's the mirror, you know, he's a mirror. And I love the Trump effect, because it lets us see who all the evil people are and what they're doing, and whatever they scream the loudest, that they're talking about themselves. It's a beautiful way for them to confess. He's kind of like, you know, the priest in the confessional. All these people come in to harm him, and they end up confessing, and then the whole world gets to hear it because he tweets it out. It's so beautiful.
Well, that ties into Jez's next question about Ephesians 6, talks about putting on the armor of God so one can resist the devil's schemes. There's a breastplate, a sword of truth, a belt, and lots of other stuff. Where can I get these things from? And again, I would say that that is what you perceive. It's your karmic shield. It's the result of your many lifetimes of good and bad deeds. And here you're standing here. That's all that's protecting you.
Yeah. And he calls it the devil's schemes. Let's just call it the dragon. Let's call it the father of lies. In some places, they call him Ahriman. They call him all kinds of things, but it's the dragon, the beast that you have to tame. And what do you, these are virtues. So whether it be the breastplate, the sword, the buckler, as well as the spear and the helmet and all these different things. And then there's what? There's a virtue that is associated with them. So it is the virtues that not only protect you, but they give you the power through the sword and the spear to tame the dragon. You don't want to kill the dragon. So that's Saint Michael. That's Saint George. That's in Buddhism, Manjushri. It's the being of wisdom. It's the being of Sophia. Who tames the dragon? It is the pure virgin who takes the gold cord from around her waist, ties it around the dragon's neck, and tames it. So what is that? That's the virtue of purity. And so virtue, that is how you get it.
Jez then moves to the mystery of Golgotha. He writes, in a recent audio, Betsy talks about how the Roman Catholic Church bastardized Christianity early on, and if only we had spent 2,000 years and some change following what Christ had taught, what should we have been studying? Thomas says that there are three paths during an initiation. Left and right are Ahriman and Lucifer. The middle path is Christ. Do the two thieves Christ is crucified represent Lucifer and Ahriman?
Great question. Yes, and I love a good question. Yes, and there's so many things inside of this question. But yes, as you approach the threshold, you will meet two different demons, Lucifer and Ahriman. One is the fallen angel, and the other one is the dragon that has fallen to the earth. So yeah, you have to work with them and take the middle path, the Christ path. But even on the middle path, there is a great danger, and that's this being of Sauroth and the beings called the Asuras, who wish to take over your ego. And this is what religion, unfortunately, has done and did before Christ ever came, and that was to provide leaders, priest kings, leaders like now we have priests in the Catholic Church, who tell us what we should be thinking, doing in our morality. They try to be our ego. So in a way, Christianity failed because can anyone name a Christian community, a true Christian community living on the principles that Christ taught and the early Christians taught and the early Christians lived? We haven't seen anything like that since the afterglow effect of Christ and his disciples. So are we going to find the way between these two pillars and the ancient teachings? They're called Yakim and Boaz, or the power and beauty. And beauty is also truth and wisdom. But the middle between those two pillars is love or compassion. And that's what we have to find. We have to go between the two pillars, and we have to find the middle way.
He says, Betsy has spoken about colloidal silver and ormus. These things are wonderful. Can she recommend anything else as revolutionary? And he makes sure to note that he has followed the Ascend diet. Douglas and I are trying to show you that who you are as a human being has been severely suppressed. I mean, it's just like silver. We all know that silver is worth far more than what it was at the bottom at $12 an ounce. We all knew it. It's a game. For centuries, they've been suppressing this to cover up their fiat currency scam. But the same thing has happened to human beings. For decades, for your generational lifetimes, you know, your grandmother and your great-grandmother and all your grandparents, things have been done to the human body to bring us to the point that we don't even know what it is to be fully human. In fact, most of us, if you look around with the people with the face mask, are more comfortable in devolving into subhumans than they are into ascending to their angelichood. Douglas and I like to do deep research, and we saw that there were things being done to our food supply and our medical community that was creating harm inside our bodies. And y'all all know that well now because we've talked about it. But in the beginning, we wanted just to make sure that you had a diet to get your body out of this physical state of, oh, I don't know, what do you call it, Thomas? I mean, when you have human beings eating irradiated food that doesn't have enzymes and you can't digest it, then you are stuck in your lower chakras and there's no way you can lift up into the higher chakras where spiritual thinking and the lifting into imagination, inspiration, and intuition is. I mean, they're deliberately pulling you down in your lower chakra, so you cannot ascend.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're not giving medical advice, even though you're a naturopathic doctor. We're just giving educational insight from our own direct experience. And so what we're saying, anything we're saying, we've experienced. So, yeah, first off, great. Follow the Ascend diet, just as Betsy was just saying. That will give you tons of help and direction. But yes, in there you may find some references to some things I'm going to mention now and some aren't. We take C60. Now, C60 is a magical substance that if you haven't heard about it, you definitely should research it before you take it. It can't hurt you. Basically, it's just an oil and it's carbon turned into one of its forms that is highly organized. So C60, some people think is an absolutely magical thing. What I think you were asking for revolutionary things, and
On that C60, I'll have a link inside our CAP report of where we like to purchase ours. Again, as Douglas was saying, these are the things that we have done, and we posted them for you to see because people wanted to know, well, what do you eat? What do you take? What is your regimen? So that's really what the Ascend diet is. And so C60, I'll make sure that link is there.
And then, of course, activated CBDs. Now, some people get all tripped out, hemp or cannabis. And if it's cannabis, if they took the CBDs from there, oh, no, they're going to pull their hair out. Well, no, here's the deal. CBDs, if they're activated, and a lot of CBDs are just selling you expensive bottles of oil, they're not activated. So you have to get activated CBDs. And if they're activated, it means that it was cooked for a long time to make sure that they were activated. So CBDs in practically any form, but make sure you get a really good company. There's been lots of recommendations that Betsy has made on that. A new thing we're taking that some people told us about, which I absolutely feel a difference, is called inositol. And it supposedly helps oxygen uptake. And so we're concerned about oxygen uptake because it looks as if the COVID-19 virus really looked like hypoxia, the inability to take up oxygen, which would explain so many things if they would simply say that that's what they're treating. So there's ways to treat that. One of them is simply taking a couple of pills of inositol. And then, of course, are we going to talk about the quinine thing? With
Oh, yes. And I have a picture and everything on the CAT report about this. This is wonderful. We call it our Corona cocktail hour, and we hope that everyone will join us. And what is in our special cocktail? You did a research. You wanted to find the very best tonic water.
Yeah. When people said that my friend John said, oh, well, all you got to do is drink a martini every night at 5 and you'll be fine. And I'm going, why, John? That doesn't make any sense. You know, I'm allergic to alcohol. Why would I do that? He goes, because you get the quinine. Quinine? Who drinks quinine? Isn't quinine a poisoning? No, quinine is actually found in tonic water. Now, why do they call it tonic water? Because it's a tonic. If you simply drink it, it would, you know, the old snake oil salesman would tell you that that's going to heal you. Well, here's what happened. The Spanish flu, when it ravaged our army, they found out that if they took a substance from a tree called a cinchora, C-I-N-C-H-O-R-A, I don't really know how to pronounce it, I've never heard anyone pronounce it, but it looks just like cinnamon, and so they take the bark of this tree, and they extract natural quinine, and from that time on, it became very, very, very important that everyone who thought they were being exposed to any type of flu, Spanish flu particularly at that time, would drink quinine in tonic water, and then they would mix it to make martinis. I don't recommend the martinis. Now, what does quinine do? Quinine enhances the ability for zinc to be effective in your body 10 to 100 times, depending upon how depleted you are. So quinine is like the delivery system for zinc, and zinc is the delivery system to cause oxygenation flow in your body. So it basically treats the lack of oxygen. And they say early on when people were getting COVID coming in, they said, oh, you can't breathe. We're going to give you a shot of zinc. And bingo, they'd be fine because they shot zinc directly into the bloodstream. So we don't recommend that. We recommend that you do it nice and calmly and do not take too much zinc. Take a daily dose. Do not think you're helping yourself by taking a double dose. It will work in reverse. But what you do is you take a tiny bit. You don't need much. You can get tonic water from any tonic water that has quinine in it. Now, I only like one, and that's called Fever Tree, because the chinchora tree is the fever tree. If you had a fever, you simply took the bark of that tree, made a tea of it, and you got rid of everything. So what do they say it treats? Not only malaria, it treats every bacterium. It treats every virus. It treats every influenza. It treats them all. There's nothing it doesn't treat. Why? It's a tonic. It is so good for you. The quinine goes in and causes oxygenation. And what is the big deal? You know, people go out and they eat all these exotic fruits because they oxygenate the blood. Well, hello. You're not going to oxygenate the blood unless there's some zinc involved. So just take one pill of zinc, your daily dosage, with some tonic water. We love the nasty quinine taste of Fever Tree because it's named after the tree. It's all organic. And it's from India, I believe. You can get it here in America, and there's many different flavors of it. But
well, I have some information on the Cat Report about that, and I would say that it is not an unpleasant taste. If you like tonic water, I don't like the stuff from the grocery stores because it's too sweet, and this doesn't have the corn syrup added. And we try to stay away from high fructose corn syrup because that's derived from corn. That's a GMO corn. So that's why we like Fever Tree. And I've got a picture of that, and we call it our Corona cocktail. And then vaccines. Jess says he's got a flu vaccine once. He's very concerned of what he can do to mitigate the damage, and also concerned about some vaccines in his early teens, and then his health plummeted. And, you know, a lot of people are that way because we were tricked. They told us, their propaganda was that these vaccines were good for us, and we were young. Maybe we didn't know this, and now it's done. And so a lot of folks, Thomas, want to know, what can we do to undo the damage?
Wow, you sent me this question. I'm reading it. And basically, it messed up this person's whole life when they took vaccines as a teenager. So I'm going to go into a very sad explanation of that. But the question above, what can, you know, the person said, I took the flu vaccine once. Is there anything I can do? Yeah, drink quinine. You have the flu. If you got a flu shot, they poisoned you with a variety of flus, and they're still in you. So here's my number one advice to you. Do not get a coronavirus test. You will probably, well, first off, most of them are rigged, but you will probably prove positive, and then that will freak you out. But you're just positive for the fact that you still have influenza in you and the antibodies are still fighting it. So here's the sad news for all vaccines. All vaccines are deadly. None of them are any good. Now, whatever they're vaccinating you for, if it's the standard vaccines they give to children, like this person is talking about in their teens, then you were given an enterovirus. Now, they did that on purpose. Why did they give you a virus that was practically non-existent in the world? To make you immune from if you happen to encounter it. No, that's not what was going on. You're being given an enterovirus. And anyone who has that, basically, in my very simple way of looking at it, your body's been in a fever ever since. And it usually goes to your head. So I can look at a child as a principal of many years, and the health issues in the school, I had to decide they're on the spot. If you look at a child, and their nose is runny, and their eyes look a certain way, and you say, hey, did you just get a vaccination within the last 24 hours? And they say, yeah, we got like 12. We had to catch up. Take your child home and come back in a few days. Because what happened is that child was just given a permanent virus that if they can't overcome it, it will lead to diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. Now, I'm not making this up. They admit this. They will tell you that the enterovirus is given out in vaccines directly created cancer. And that's a fact, and they admit it. So what we're telling you is we have now discovered it also creates diabetes, heart disease, and a variety of other illnesses, not only Asperger's syndrome and Down's syndrome and the whole autism spectrum. All of those things come from poisonous vaccines. Now, unfortunately, in the future, if you're anti-vaxxer, they're going to go after you like Hitler went after Jews. Okay, it's going to be really, really sad. So what I'm telling you now is try to stay away from anybody shooting anything in your blood and ask them before they do what's in it and tell them you need to see what's in it. And when they give you the list, just say, wait a second, I don't want this in my body and I don't want this in my body. And I refuse this.
And tell them you're allergic. If you see things in there that you're allergic to, you know, just do basic things because they won't resist on
well,
that.
Well, also you can medically, the best thing is to not fight them saying religious because there's only one religion that protects you from that. But the best thing is to say medically, just as Betsy just said. And if you have good reason, which get your doctor to pre-approve you before they come around because they are going to come around. But because we have Trump as president, he says it's going to be up to the person to get it, just like he didn't. He took hydroxychloroquine as a treatment, as a preventative, because his driver in his car tested positive and he's been fine. Why? Because since 1918, they've been doing this, and it's the number one treatment in the world, and it treats almost everything there is, and it's the last thing that Fauci and Redfield and Bricks, is that her name, Bricks, and all of the World Health Organization want anybody to know about. They don't want treatments. They only want vaccines.
I did want to go back to the inositol. It has a slight sweet taste, and I just throw a little quarter teaspoon in my 2 cups of coffee that I have a day, and I do drink a biodynamic coffee. I love coffee, and I wasn't going to give up my coffee, but the biodynamic coffee, of course, comes from the way that the plant grows using Rudolf Steiner's bio. Dynamic methods. I'm also sorry, I've got a couple of thoughts running in my head about this, but also you have a little story about how you help these folks start their biodynamic coffee farm. It's here in America. So I order the biodynamic coffee and then I'll put a little quarter teaspoon of inositol. You can't taste it at all. And I have so much energy. I mean, look at all of our output. And I show you this as an example. When you begin to work with the Ascend diet and begin to do some of these protocols, you're going to notice a big changes in yourself, in the ability of the things you can do, because now you're like supercharging the rest of your brain to work the way it was supposed to work. Okay.
Now, a little bit more. Okay. Yeah, they mentioned a lack of strength and getting weak. Then take D-ribose. Ribose is the substance that the RNA uses to replicate DNA, and it is the key factor to all of these man-made synthetic influenza attacks on us. So D-ribose will actually strengthen your body in making sure you don't replicate viruses, but you actually replicate proper DNA. And you want to strengthen your immune system if you, because this person mentions that, you know, it's really affected them very deeply in many different ways. So you want to strengthen your immune system in every way you can. Now, you're going to get a lot of different opinions on how to do that. But here's the number one way to do it. Number one way to create white blood cells, especially if you're above the age of 12 and your thymus is already grown so small it's hardly working. What you do is you do a castor oil pack on your belly. There are lots of white blood cells are created in your gut. And when you do castor oil, it's one of the few things that I know of that actually make white blood cells. So castor oil packs on your belly.
And that's why when some of us, you'll remember the day when your mothers and grandmothers, as soon as you get sick, they'd want to give you a castor oil pack. And the reason is because by releasing the white blood cells through this process, it goes to the infected areas and cleanses it. And that's what your white blood cells do. But the question always arises, once you reach a state of great health and your white blood cells are no longer needed to take care of the infections in your body, what happens to them? And we saw an amazing process happening where your white blood cells become the T cells, becoming the ascension cells. There is something that happens beyond taking care of your body. The white blood cells are also, we think, what helps you to ascend.
And then we found out that if you could get your body so clean that you were producing too many white blood cells, they would actually, we started figuring this out, they would actually be used for a higher purpose. And then we found the endocannabinol system was doing exactly that. So if you also want to strengthen your immune system, you eat things that strengthen your endocannabinol system, which would be things like cinnamon and black pepper and turmeric and all the good substances that everybody's always telling you to eat. Yeah, that's what you eat. Why? Because they carry a lookalike to CBD. And so the endocannabinol system is enriched by that.
Okay. And again, on the CAT report, everything you just talked about, I've got some great links and some videos and things to show you even more about those topics. Now, Jez wants to know about dreams. I rarely remember my dreams. Does that describe any of you out there? What can I do? And I know what Thomas is going to say. And I will say this, that listen to him, because I've heard him give this advice to other people. And then they call or come by the house and say, oh my gosh, I did what you said and it works. And now I'm both like dreaming like crazy. So,
yeah, first off, do what we say in terms of the threshold and the dweller in the threshold. Before you go to sleep, review your day and listen to your conscience and try to, you know, create moral feelings for everything that happened in the day and make sure that you've reviewed it, reflected upon it, and kind of if there was something you need to resolve with somebody, plan to do that before you go to sleep. Why? Otherwise, you'll do that once you go to sleep. Once you go through your rapid eye movement stage and you go into deeper sleep, you are going to have to recall your day. You in the reverse order, by the way. Reverse order is kind of tough, so don't be hard on yourself with that. But try to remember everything that happened in the day. And if you can in the reverse order, then it builds up your capacity for memory like crazy. So then what happens? Then you cross the threshold with your loving surrender to the guardian of the threshold, who's there to help you, really. And then you do the simplest thing. Now, generally, if I was going to do this for a person, I'd give them one of my special crystals that's a double terminated crystal. Doesn't matter how small or how large, okay? With crystals that has no bearing whatsoever. The same frequency is emitted from a small, from a large crystal. Now, you take a crystal and you put it within 3 feet of your head. Now, that means you're going to have to put it in your pillow, under your pillow, maybe under your mattress, because you're going to be putting warmth and pressure on it at night. So you're going to activate the piezoelectric influence that it has. So basically, you're providing to your brain a certain type of energy that is a bioelectrical energy that is necessary in the brain, especially for higher cognitive functioning, because piezoelectric energy has been found to be in the midbrain, right? So you're basically enhancing that. Now, people's midbrains don't work so well because their pineal glands have been calcified and on and on and on, lack of minerals in their food, so on and so forth. So I have done this with the most materialistic people you could ever imagine. People who said, no, they don't even believe dreams ever happen. They believe people are making that up. This person also was colorblind and was a diehard materialist. And so I gave him this little double terminated crystal, told him 3 feet between near your head. Well, he told his daughter this, and he was laughing, mocking me. And he set it on his desk, his dresser drawer, about 10 feet from his bed. The next morning, woke up, didn't have a dream, told you they don't exist. And the daughter said, no. He told you 3 feet from your head. Don't you know what 3 feet is? So she went in and put the crystal under his pillow or something. The next night, he had such colorful, vivid dreams that it scared the snot out of him, and he gave the crystal back and said that he hoped he never would have another dream. Now, that is the reality. If you're such a materialist, if you cross the threshold and you have dreams that tell you about the fact that you've been mean to people, he was a prosecutor, so he put people in jail. If you have bad karma with people and you haven't resolved it, or you keep up bad karma every single day, well, you don't want to see your dreams, because your dreams may in the rapid eye movement section at the end of that, become the monsters that you are to other people. So dreams, first off, are going to show you who you are in relationship to the way you treat other people. Second off, to try to get control of your dreams is really the big path of spiritual development. Remember, we spend at least a third of our lives asleep. Some people say, spiritual people, that the only thing we ever really remember is the way that we digest our day in our dreams. So when we would have a review of our life, it would only be what we have digest from the physical world, and that would be really what we were dreaming at night. So dreams go on whether you know it or not. The question is whether you can pull them up. Now, if you're going to pull up a dream right before you wake up, it's going to probably not be a deep dream. If you're going to be hounded all night long by something, that's because you probably, the Greeks believed they called them the Furies. If you did something wrong, the three Furies would chase you. And they'd chase you till you'd resolve it. And they turned into conscience. Well, nowadays, humans just, they don't care about conscience. They don't care if they hurt or are non-compassionate to other people. So that is what can happen when you start to dream. So what you're really looking for is when you're having a dream where you know that what you desire inside becomes what you see in the outside in your dreams. So you control your dreams. So if you have an intent before you go to sleep and you do that night after night and you have a certain clear intent that you need a question answered or you need something, help from the spiritual world, after 3 days, you'll usually be given it as long as you have clear intent and you've done the things I've mentioned. And that will prove to you that the dream world is a world that is actually a world of nourishment, a world that is here to help you.
This segues beautifully into the question about the guardian of the threshold and the three mothers. Jez would like you to expand on this and wanted you to name the three mothers.
Well, I think this is a very, very good question, and he probably thinks I can't name them. I can. In the Norse mythology, they're called the three Nornies: Urd, Skaldi, and, sorry, I can't remember the third one, Nanandi or something like that. But it's the Well of Urd that Odin goes to the Well of Mimir, but Frigg goes to the Well of Urd, and that's the Well of the Mothers. Now, these mothers it's described as the three Nornies. The Nornies with wise foreseeing kin spin the life of gods and men, warp and weep. They weave the thread for joy and woe, for hope and dread. Comes the hour of the last of all, the thread is cut, the leaf must fall. The three Nornies were feared by all the gods in the Norse mythology and all the humans because of what I just quoted from, the Elder Edda, which tells about the three Nornies. So they measure out your life, they determine the quality of it, and they cut it at the end. So they are actually the three mothers that determine the very substance that you use to be a human in this incarnation. And why? They're the three mothers of the physical body, the etheric body, and the astral body. So the three mothers were the past. Rudolf Steiner calls them ancient Saturn, ancient Sun, ancient Moon, having very little to do with those planets. Those were stages of Earth development, where the three Nornies, or the three mothers, they actually have hierarchical names, and the descriptions of these by Rudolf Steiner and his works go on to a great extent. And Goethe described them, and he said that everyone feared them. They are so fearful that if you go backwards and you look at the three mothers, first you have to get through the astral body, then to the etheric body, then to the physical. No one, hardly a human, can get even past the astral. To get to the etheric, very, very few people have that developed. And if they could get to the physical, then it would have been the most horrifying, terrifying experience of their whole life. To see the three mothers is to terrify you. It's like seeing the three demons that guard the threshold. If you have bad karma and you haven't been thanking these mothers for your physical, etheric, and astral body, and your ego that rides on top like a your head is like riding on a carriage. Well, this carriage was provided by other beings, and you and I are not grateful enough for that. But if we were, then we'd be thanking the three mothers. In this time, the three mothers have provided us with what we needed, and now in this fourth time, the mother isn't the mother. It's the being of the Kyriotetes, the being of Sophia. So the mothers are one mother. They're the past. Then there's the being of Kyriotetes, which is right now. That was the being that accompanied Christ down to earth. And then there's the being of the future called Holy Sophia. And those are also the same being as the Trinity of the Divine Feminine, which also are called, the Greeks called them the Gorgons. Medusa was one. The Gorgons had one eye. They passed between the three. They called them ugly hags. And they'd pop the eye in their third eye, and they'd be able to see anything, past, present, or future. But they particularly, each one of them, had a characteristic that they could manipulate the best, past, present, or future. So they shared one eye. And this is the same thing that happened with Odin. He took his one eye, and he dropped it in the well of Mimir, the well of wisdom, which would be, of course, a female well of wisdom. And with that eye, he was able to see everything in the world. So the three mothers are the great secret. It's hidden, and they will lead you to the Divine Feminine Trinity. So thank you to those readers, faithful readers who've been with us for so long, who many times drive our own investigations. Matter of fact, we are trying to figure out where we first came up with the idea of Perbright. And Betsy tells us it was a remark somebody made, and we said, well, let's look into it. So oftentimes your questions, good folks, lead us in new directions that bring revelations. So thank you for the questions. And when we don't have the answers, one of the most exciting things for me is to go out and look for them.